glad you're here today. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise God in the mighty heavens and praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord according to His excellent greatness. Praise the Lord. Praise Him with trumpet and sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with lyre and tambourine. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipes. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's right. I'm glad it doesn't say let everything that praises the Lord have breath. You guys can think about that at lunch while you're feeding your mama. All right. Glad you're all here today. Man, are we a lively crowd today? Or are we going to go Suns, huh? Wow. All right. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke. Luke chapter 9. We're going to have fun today. Sent this to Deanna. She called me and said, Pastor, what a great sermon, but what's it have to do with Mother's Day? Nothing! Amen. We already did Mother's Day. We gave carnations. No, I'm just kidding. It does. We're going to tie it together. It's just what God gave me. It's just been boiling in me, and He said, preach this, and so we are. And moms, it's for you too. So, it's good. But I'm not talking about like Ruth. I'm not talking about like one woman in the Bible. I'm talking about all of us. Amen? And I learned this the hard way. The more y'all amen me today, the quicker we get out to beat the Methodists to the restaurant for our mamas. So come on. All right. All right. We're going to go today. Amen or oh me, right, Terry? Amen. Let's get in line. Let's go. Open up your bulletins. Get out. And I'm going to go down through the outline. You'll be able to take notes today, Lisa. And praise the Lord for that. If y'all have your Bible with you today, I want you to grab it. Put your finger in Luke 9, and I want you to hold it up. I want you to say, you know, look at this thing. Now, I'm going to say something, and it's actually the title of my sermon. If this book is true, say it with me. Say it again. If this book is true. Is it true? Hey, man, we're going to get out early. All right. We're rolling today. By the way, if you weren't here last Sunday, anybody cross their jabok this week? Praise God. I encourage you to go online, not just to hear the sermon, but to hear it in a way that will help you cross your jabok. If you weren't here last week, I pray that you'll hear last week's sermon. And hear me this. That doesn't even make sense. But I don't graduate for 2 more weeks, so I can still get away with that. Hear me this. Trey made me watch, what did we watch the other day, Trey? Braveheart or something? They talked funny like that, and I started talking like that. Listen to this. Next week, be here. Next Sunday, I'm going to lay out a plan for you of where we're going as a church. God has revealed it to us, and we need to invite our friends, neighbors, family. Almost bring our pets next week. I mean, we got to be here next week. We got to be here next week, people, because we're going to lay out where we're going. We're going to lay out what God's put in front of us. It's amazing what has happened this last week in the life of Heart Cry Church and what's going to happen. It's amazing. And it's more than you could exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask for or imagine. And now our foot is in the jabok. And next week, we're going to figure out how to cross that jabok. It's amazing. I wish it was next week today, but God said, wait a week. Because you guys need to bring the people. You need to call the people that aren't here and get people here to hear this. It's unbelievable where we're going. Second thing is, I have a prayer that we need to pray. I got an email this morning, actually a text message from Robin and Vic Castanelli. Her grandpa passed away this morning. We've been praying for him. And last week, he was having some heart trouble. Well, he passed this morning. So lift up the Castanellis in your prayers today. Some of you guys call them and check on them and make sure they're okay, but their grandpa died. I just got the text while I was sitting there. All right, Luke chapter 9, we see a pericope, if you will, of three men in the Bible. Not women, but that's okay. Three different individuals, we'll call them, in the Bible. And in Luke chapter 9, God is telling them, do you really want to follow me? God is saying this, what I already said. Is this true? God is saying, if this book is true, here's what you got to do. And today it's a call for us. See, if this book is true, and I've done some numbers, there's 6.8 billion people in this world today. That's a lot of people, amen? And if this book is true, this says this. One-third of the people of this world today, that's 4.5 billion people, right now are dying without Christ. That makes us as Christians do what? Cry. That makes us know that we have an urgent task in front of us. 4.5 billion people are dying and going to hell. If this book is true, if this book is true, there is a hell. Amen? Amen? If this book is true. If this book is true as well, we have physical, spiritual, mental issues all over today, right? Amen. And so we need to look at the Word of God. Also, another statistic I just found. 26,000 children will die today, this very day, because of starvation and curable diseases. If this book is true, it tells me that as a church, we need to be doing something about that. God has designed us as His people to do things for other people. Amen? Amen. That's right. Methodists are going to beat us. You guys aren't getting very good here. So if this book is true, and the world that we live in is here, if we're here today, and this book is true, we don't have time to play games, right? We don't have time to play games, and we must look at what the Scriptures say to help us to get through this. And all this is true, people. Everything that we see is true. And the bottom line today is that we have a master that demands, everybody hear this, demands, listen to this, I'm going to say it one more time, demands radical sacrifice. Oh no, he said the word sacrifice. I didn't get one amen. All right. Demands radical sacrifice. A radical sacrifice is a mission that warrants radical movement. If this book is true, the church, we sang it in one of the songs, we are the bride of Christ. Think about that. We have walked down the aisle with Christ and we are His bride. And if this book is true, we should have a radical movement for Christ. So my goal this morning is this, to talk you out of following Jesus and the words of Jesus. I want to talk you out of it and see how easy it is to talk you out of following Jesus. Now stay with me, don't think I'm a reprobate or anything. I'm showing you some Scripture this morning. My goal today is to show you Scriptures that show that we must have a radical movement or we're not following Christ. Please hear me today. As I read John 6:53, you don't need to turn there. Jesus looks at the crowd and the masses were there because He had just fed 5,000. He had just healed many people. And He says to them, if you want to follow Me, come. But if you want to follow Me, you must eat My flesh and drink My blood. Now the 12 disciples were standing in the corner going, Jesus, don't say it like that. That's not cool. That makes people not want to be here. And so then Jesus bowed down and looked up and there was only a few people left. They all left. He said literally, if you want to follow Me, you got to eat Me and drink My blood. That's kind of weird, right? Eat you and drink your blood? Let's get out of here. And so as we look at Luke 9 in this pericope, we see what Jesus means and what He's talking about and how we must act. Let me throw a couple things at you just real quick. Jesus says, number one, we must give up everything. We must hate our mother and father, our husband and our wife, our brother and our sister. We must go sell everything we have and give it to the poor. And then we must take up our cross and follow Him. See, Jesus has given us commands here today, and we're going to find out exactly what this is. Now let me ask you another question. I want you all sitting right where you're at right now to ask this very question. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you, on a scale from 1 to 10, you know, Trey's doing a scrapbook because he's graduating. He has to do it for school. And we were sitting at the kitchen table and all these pictures of our kids from zero to wherever they are now. They're like 21 and 18 and 11 or 12, however old Che is. All right? And so she's almost 12. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. I really know when her birthday is, kind of. All right. And I looked at Lisa and I said, Lisa, how can you put this together? I look at the table and I cry. I can't do it. I literally, physically cannot mentally handle looking at all these pictures of these little kids when they used to be so cute. They still are. But I just can't do it. And Lisa's over there, you know, licking them and putting the glue on them and making the scrapbook. And I'm going, I cannot handle this. It's more than I can handle. I love them so much, and I just can't believe how they're growing up. Paige called me this morning at 6 o'clock to tell Mom Happy Mother's Day. And she said, oh, and Dad, by the way, I'm moving to Houston. When did this happen? Oh, a few minutes ago. I walked into the church and it was beautiful, so I'm going to live here and go here. I like this church. Houston? What, don't you think you might want to pray through that? No, I already have. I'm coming here. I'm moving here. What are you going to do? I'm going to find a rich guy here. I'm going to move here. That's what she told me. How much do you love God? See, I love my kids so much, but how much do I love God? How much do I love God? How much do you love God? Have you twisted the text of the Scriptures, and we're going to read it in just a second? Have you turned it and made it a comfortable little Jesus? A Jesus who fits within my lifestyle. A Jesus who will not mind if I sin against my friends. Or maybe a little Jesus who does not mind if I drink and cuss and fornicate and lie and steal and cheat. Or maybe a little Jesus who is okay with a nominal devotion towards Him. Or maybe a little Jesus who won't expect us to enter into danger or things that are extreme. Or how about a nice little middle class Jesus who looks like me and talks like me and thinks like me? How about a Jesus that is crafted into our own little Jesus? See, I come today to ask you this question. Am I following a Jesus for who He is? Or am I following a Jesus for whom I have created Him to be? Very dangerous. Number one, in your outline, are you choosing comfort or the cross? Jesus says in Luke 9:51, underline this in your Bible, when the days drew near for Him, that is Jesus, to be taken up, He set His face to go towards Jerusalem. So Jesus is looking towards Jerusalem, and He knows that in a few short days He'll be on the cross. And He knows what's coming. And when we jump down into 57 and it says, as they were going along the road, on the way to the cross, hear me this morning, someone said to Him, I will follow you wherever you go. Wherever you go, Jesus, I will follow you. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Are you choosing comfort or the cross? Are you choosing radical change in your life, a radical movement, or are you choosing comfort? See, at another side note, Matthew 8:18, we know that this was a religious teacher. This was a pastor that ran up to Jesus, a guy that knew the Bible, a Pharisee or a Sadducee, and he said, Jesus, I will follow you. And it's as if Jesus looked ahead and he pictured this with me. He's on his way and the guy, you know, I'm sure the guy saw Jesus coming and all the people cheering and all the palm leaves going, yay, Messiah. He has come, and oh, he saw this intimate dinner with the 12 followers, and he saw all the healings that Jesus would do. Jesus, I'll go with you! And Jesus says, but look beyond that to the cross. Death and suffering. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus, I'll choose the comfort. I don't want the cross. Are you today choosing the comfort, or are you choosing the cross? And I ask you that seriously, because see, Jesus asks us that. Jesus said, follow me and you won't even have shelter. Follow me and you won't even have anything but me. Jesus is not a means to the end. He is the end. Not come to Christ to get this and that. Not come to Christ for your best life now. How'd I do? No, come to Christ to get God. Amen? It's not for your best life. It's to come to Christ to get God. Somewhere along the way, we today have replaced that which was radical about our faith, listen to me, and replaced it with that stuff that is comfortable. That's why we've got to come down to the cross today and say, God, where do you need me? God, what can I sacrifice for you? God, what can I do for the children of this place? Comfort or the cross? Do you love this book? I do. Do you love God? I do. Is Jesus enough for us? Amen. Ask yourself, is Jesus enough for the situation I'm in right now? Is Jesus enough for this church to grow to reach thousands of people in this community for Christ? Or is He not? Is Jesus enough to reach and teach my family and bring maybe my wayward children back to God? Is Jesus enough? I say He is. Number two, are we settling for maintenance or are you sacrificing for the mission? Let's go to gentleman number two in our pericope here. Verse 29 says, to another He said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go proclaim the kingdom of God. As I thought about this scripture, I thought about my own parents, and one day I'll have to bury them, and in fact, probably in the next 10, 20 years. And it's almost as Jesus is telling me here, Billy, you don't need to go bury your dad. You need to follow me and proclaim the kingdom of God. I almost said, God, wait a minute. I'm offended by that. God, wait a minute. I think I'll settle for maintenance. I don't think I want to sacrifice for the mission. I think I'll settle for maintenance. I don't think I can sacrifice for the mission. Do you hear me today, people? His dad just died and he wanted to bury his father. And that was the most respectful thing and the most honorable thing to do then, and it is still today, to bury your own dad. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. Go proclaim the word and the kingdom to people about God. What does this mean? Hear me today. Draw close and listen to me today. When you follow Jesus, there's a responsibility and an obligation, listen to this word, that supersedes all other things in life. When you follow Jesus, there's an obligation and a responsibility that supersedes everything else in this life. Ask yourself today, are you settling for maintenance? I went to church on Sunday. I tipped the church on Sunday. Whatever it may be. Or are you sacrificing for mission? Are you sacrificing so that these children will have a place to grow up that's safe and protected and got full of the Word of God? Or are you just maintaining? I can't say this enough. See, there's an urgency today. There's an urgency that we need as followers of Christ. And that urgency is a superior devotion to Christ. And the purpose of your life is not, listen to me, to be a success in the world's eyes. No, it's to proclaim the kingdom of God to all the earth today. That's what it is. Not business as usual, but hear me, unusual business. Urgency, a mission we're sacrificing everything for. Half the world today lives on $2 a day. Wow, we're rich. Living on $2 a day. We have an urgency before us, and not to be maintained, but to sacrifice. Sacrifice. Through gifts, through skills, through resources, urgency for the mission of the gospel of God. Number three, will your life be marked by an indecisive mind or an undivided heart? Will your life be marked by an indecisive mind or an undivided heart? Look at gentleman number three. Yet another one said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Will you gladly forsake all things of this world to follow him? Is your life marked by indecisiveness or by an undivided heart? Young people, look at me. High schoolers, what about popularity and pride and power? Indecisive. But an undivided heart comes through the Word of God. Not wavering on issues that come upon us today. Undivided hearts give to God in a sacrificial way. Let's just get down to business. Staff, teachers, leaders of this church. Do we have an undivided heart to reach and teach men and women, boys and girls for Christ? And do we show it through our obligation and responsibility that the Bible tells us? Giving, honoring God, talking to other people about God. As I go through this sermon this morning, even at Dunkin' Donuts, I was able to talk to the manager of Dunkin' Donuts about Christ. And it's amazing that when you are obligated and you feel the responsibility and you know that there's an urgency, it's amazing how many people are begging to hear about God. And all we must do is say, God loves you, and they'll hear you. You won't believe the amazing story that I'm going to tell you next week, and I hate to even bring any of it up because I don't want to ruin it for next week, but God does amazing things to those who go to others when He says go to them and just say, hey. Unbelievable things happen when you don't have an indecisive mind, but you have an undivided heart. Indecisive minds don't give to God. They give to other things like whatever. Whatever. Indecisive minds don't believe in giving God a tithe. And this is not about tithing. It's really not. But this is about giving a sacrifice to God, your time, your talent, your everything. And not being indecisive. Well, if this book is true, hear me? If this book is true, I can do all things through Christ. If this book is true, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, Romans 5:20. If this book is true, train up a child in the way he will go, and when they were old, they will not depart from it. If this book is true, we will not have an indecisive mind, but an undivided heart that gives all of us, all of our all to God, who sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And when Jesus bled and died on the cross and rose again on the third day, it was to show you that this book is true. It's true. As the musicians come, I want to ask you in your life, have you ever had a time where you told your heart to be undivided for Jesus Christ? Have you received that Savior, Jesus Christ, into your heart? Well, a young person might say something like this, a little kid, you mean Jesus can like fit in my heart? Yes. And to an older person that thinks more abstract or concrete, I forgot the way it goes. How does Jesus get into my heart? Through the Holy Spirit, people. The same one that created this building and this earth can indwell in you. And when you receive Jesus Christ, it goes something like this. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but Lord, I believe that this book is true. And my indecisiveness goes away and I'm undivided. I give you all my heart. As the music plays, ask yourself, bow your heads with me right now. Is this book true in your life? Is this book true in your life? Is it sufficient to meet all your needs? If you're here today and you need prayer, if you need to receive Christ, if you need prayer about some indecision in your life, if you need prayer and repent because of the comfort you've chosen instead of the cross, if you need prayer because you've only maintained your walk and never sacrificed for anything, people, we got to repent. Repent means to go one way and then turn into another direction. And the Bible says when we repent, that starts all healing. Some of us in here today need to be healed. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, we need to be healed. But we've said this book isn't true. And today we need to proclaim it is true. Father God, I pray that You would move amongst us this morning. Show us our iniquity, our sin, our unrighteousness. Father, I pray that You'd bless us today. Give us courage to come and renew ourselves in front of You. In Jesus' name I pray. Will You stand with me? Will You stand with me this morning? Do you need to make a decision this morning? Do you have the courage to do that? To sacrifice?